Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sexiest show in Houston right there, baby.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, oh, Dirty and the Dilf.
The Big Dilf.
And Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. Moneybags, have the latest for you. The latest is 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And I know we talked about wanting to get in and get you ready for this Astros game, but I cannot help but to pass a couple of news notes. One, coming up as soon as this segment ends, we will let you hear our sit down with D'Amico Ryan. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up after this segment. And then Clint, Tyler, I don't know if you fellas know, but there's some great news for tomorrow. We talked about Ticket Tuesday. Well, tomorrow is apparently going to be Texans Ticket Thursday, baby, because not just The Drive, not just In the Loop, not just Payne and Pendergast,
Pendergast and Payne,
Area 45, all four of our shows right here on Sports Radio 610, all four of our local shows will have a pair of club-level seats to give away tomorrow. A pair of club level seats to give tomorrow. 9 a.m. on Payne and Pendergast, 1 p.m. on In the Loop, 5 p.m. on The Drive, and then 9 p.m. on Area 45. So we hooking folks up your chance again to win a pair of tickets. And this is big because, as Clint said, this is the one. This is the game. Hell, Clint said it in the last segment. He thinks they might play into. They might play a whole half. This is going to be the game where you'll see the ones a lot. This will be the game where you'll get to see Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard and Joe Mixon, all of them for the first time all together. I think you said yesterday, maybe this may be the game where everybody, all the starters on offense are accounted for and are going to play on Saturday against the Giants. So you got a chance. Four different opportunities to win a pair of club level seats at NRG for the game on Saturday.
I'm a club level guy.
I'll be honest with y'all.
I'm a club level guy. Let me get up there and where I can see everything and see all 22 really from my seat kind of deal.
I'm surprised you like it just with the roof always being closed and all that AC in there.
Yeah. I mean, the AC doesn't even register. It really doesn't even register, to be honest with you. Whether I'm tailgating or I'm in the building.
Don't let it soften you up now.
No, don't worry about that. A lot of things I am, but soft ain't one of them. So that's not worried about that. I like to be able to see.
Soft right now.
I like to be able to see.
Yeah, it's a good spot. It's a good spot. So stay tuned tomorrow, 9 a.m. Yeah, I know. Better be. Or hey, man, I don't know what you did during the break or what.
Before we get to that boner, you get this good stretch in.
See, last time, you almost tore your hip right off the bone, so watch yourself. All right, so that's coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. All right, Moneybags, what's the bets? The people want to know. You got a lock?
Oh, yeah.
You got a lock tonight, Moneybags? You got your lock? Is the listen, the Astros have won 7 in a row, so you know Tyler is rolling. You know Tyler is rolling.
Oh, yeah.
They're feeling good when they get in the stretch. They're looking for 8 in a row. What's the bets and what's the lock?
Yeah, another green night last night. Keep it rolling tonight. My lock bet for this evening of Astros baseball is going to be Astros team total over 3.5 runs. I think they're going to get that by the 5th inning. It's going to be gnarly. It's going to be awesome. You're going to love it. We're going to win money. It's going to be beautiful. So over 3.5 runs, that's my lock. I'm also on Yordan Alvarez over 1.5 total bases. Of course, Alex Bregman on the heater, so I'm on his over 1.5 total bases. And I'm on the Astros money line to win this ball game tonight and complete yet another sweep.
Did you bet the series already?
They didn't put out the series odds for this one. Yeah.
That might have been some money he made last night.
Yeah.
In addition to that. Well, go ahead, man. Do you think any of them jump out to you?
Yeah, I like a lot of them.
Do you?
Yeah. Probably going to parlay a couple of them. I got to get with my other.
You got to get with your other people.
I got to get with my other plug.
They don't allow you to parlay. Tyler doesn't allow you to parlay.
Yeah, this plug here isn't hot. Doesn't like it hot, you know?
All right. Tonight, the Astros, as Tyler said, go for the sweep on the mound. Ronel Blanco and then Altuve. Bregman, Yordan Alvarez is the DH. Diaz is back behind the plate tonight with Pena at short. DeZinzo, who has been off the last two games, he returns to the lineup at first base with Jake Myers in center, Mauricio Dubon in right, and Chaz McCormick ending things in left. As we said, in front of Blanco. Blanco's one I want to watch, Clint. He was, I think, the MVP of the first half. He held this pitching staff and the rotation together through injuries. Right, like Spencer Arrigetti started in AAA. Verlander started the season on the IL. He's been on the IL multiple times. Framber's been on the IL this year. Kikuchi just got here. And Hunter Brown, he's been in the rotation consistently, but he was up and down. He has been there, kind of a mainstay throughout. I do wonder if the innings are starting to hit him right now. This is the most he has ever pitched, probably before his last start. And you can kind of see a bit of slowing down a little bit. It'd be good to see if he can get back on track and get back to where he was. Hasn't been bad, hasn't blown up, but you can clearly see he has come down from the pace that he was earlier in the season. So he's one to watch tonight, see if he can maintain.
Well, I think the biggest thing, to your point, Ron, is he's the one of all the guys right now that could potentially be having issues with the innings accumulating, right? I mean, that when you look at Spencer Arrigetti, clearly he don't give a rip. I mean, he's getting better.
Yeah.
He hadn't hit the wall yet, if there is a proverbial wall there. He hadn't hit it. Hunter Brown is getting better, and hell, Hunter Brown gets better as the games go along. So, I like, Ronel Blanco is the one for me that if when you get Verlander back, you bump to a six-man rotation, I think the guy that benefits the most is Ronel Blanco. He's the guy right now to keep an eye on in the sense of is a full 162 where he's a workhorse in the rotation. Is he ready for that? Is it too much or not? And I think it's fair to have your eyes squarely on him, given what we've seen of late, how good he was early, how dominant he was early, and to your point, how long it seems like he's just been in some high leverage situations and just been eaten for a while now, where the others have had seemingly had either bad spells or off days or injuries,
yeah,
that had him out of the rotation. So tonight's a big night to watch that for sure.
Yeah. Hey. There, you know, baseball can happen. They win this thing, they get to 8. Like, this thing could get to 11 as they play the worst team in baseball, and really the worst team baseball has seen in a long, long time, the Chicago White Sox. And it lines up with Spencer Arrigetti, who has pitched as well as anybody here of late in the rotation, with back-to-back outings of 12 and 13 strikeouts. Now, he's going to pitch against their ace, the guy who leads the American League in strikeouts, and Garrett Crochet, but still a good matchup there. Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez go in that series, so they've got a chance if they win this tonight to push this thing to 11 with the White Sox up coming up next.
Those Astros, they're kicking ass and taking names.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint. As football is going, training camp is going. We've talked about Christian Harris, as he's had that we thought it was a hamstring. Maybe now looking at it as a calf issue. We'll let you hear a little bit more as D'Amico will address that coming up in the next segment. But the Rams, their quarterback Matthew Stafford had to leave practice and didn't return because of a hamstring issue. And Clint, I'm going to be watching this, because when we start talking about teams this year, this may be kind of my surprise team. I'm going to pick them to win the NFC West. Over the Niners.
Well, you got to be stoked about it. Don't we have a joint practice coming up with these guys?
Yeah, I can't wait to see. Listen, this
oh, damn. So
everything I'm hearing about there, those D linemen they picked from Florida State, people are loving
both of them.
Both of them. People are talking big time about those cats. Now they got a look last year with this team, but obviously Matt Stafford is hugely important for this team. I was wondering last year if he after having that arm issue, that elbow issue, if he was done, but no, he played really, really well. I think the Rams have a really, really good football team this year and got a chance to be big. As I said, I'm going to pick them over the Niners in the West right now, but they got to have Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, man, it's maybe Stetson Bennett time, man.
That's it. It's him and Jimmy.
Yeah, girl.
Hey,
it's Stetson, him and Jimmy G.
Stetson is still out. Well, Jimmy G's hurt. I mean, I don't know if he. I don't know how. I don't know how.
You know, Jimmy's hurt.
Hey, Stetson, boy, he kills me. I watched that damn game last week. He threw three picks.
I mean,
he
may have
threw more than that.
I mean,
bro, he's running out there like he's still at Georgia. He is slinging that thing and throwing picks and just saying he ain't got. He just keeps on slinging it. I mean, like, he's got the damn job security of Stetson Bennett at Georgia.
Got it,
man.
Now, baby.
Boy, I mean, I'm telling you, he is just letting that thing eat.
Yeah, that. Like I said, it all. My thoughts all depend on Matt Stafford. If Matt Stafford rolls in here and Stetson Bennett has to be getting some action, then I take all of that back. But that's an injury to watch, because he completely changes who that team is.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the news of the day in the NFL, tough news and a couple of things. The Vikings had a really, really rough day as J.J. McCarthy. They have decided that he will miss this season and have knee surgery to repair the torn meniscus. There was a thought there were two different ways they could go about it, and they have chosen the long play. Go ahead and have the surgery right away and fix it, and he'll miss the rest of the season, Kevin O'Connell said. Clint, your thoughts? J.J. McCarthy, I think he had a real chance to start and to have that job, and I mean week one. I think there was a really – coming out of that game, I thought for sure that he would be the quarterback when the Texans play him in week three, when Tyler travels to Minneapolis with the Texans to go watch him play the Vikings. I thought he was going to be the starter. Do you think this was the right move to go with just, all right, hey, man, let's not just – kind of go in and get there, because there's a procedure where it could have been 4 to 6 weeks and then he gets back. You think this was the right move?
Yeah, I think this was the right move. I mean, you look at 4 to 6 weeks, you're 4 to 6 weeks from now, you're into week three or four at that point in time, and you obviously it's a knee, so there's no movement and stuff like that for the majority of that rehab, and it definitely not football stuff in terms of being in the pocket making passes. Now all of a sudden you're the season's already started, you're rolling, you're trying to win games, and J.J. McCarthy's trying to get healthy. Now when do you put him in the game? He's a rookie, so is it even worth it? So, I mean, there's so many questions that I think come up if you choose the 4 to 6 week route here. You'd have to really be convinced at this point he was the guy. And I'll be honest with you, I know last week in the preseason was a really, really good performance by him, but it just seems like he was going to be a little bit more of a developmental guy coming into the league.
You thought that from the jump.
Yeah, I thought it from the jump. And look, I'll be honest with you, that first preseason game, I mean, it convincing. But I think the plan with him all along was to be a little bit more patient with him and let him come into his own and develop him and not force him into action early on. That's why Sam Darnold is there. That's why I think they named Sam Darnold early. Maybe I don't know if they named him, but he's taking first string reps. So I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment when the just because he had a great preseason game, which he really did. I don't want to take anything from him, but I also don't want to be a prisoner of the moment and think, oh, all of a sudden this guy was going to start. I think the plan was probably to err on the side of patience with him and let Sam Darnold be the guy initially. So that's what they'll end up doing.
Yeah, that's one part of it, Clint. The other part is Their young wide receiver they picked in the first round last year, Jordan Addison, who had a pretty good issue. Now, there are some other reports. First, there was a fear, Clint, that he had suffered an ACL injury. Reports were saying MRI still needs to confirm the severity. Here recently, they're saying it's ankle. It's an ankle issue is now what's being reported with Jordan Addison. That is probably obviously much better to lose. Well, I guess unless the damn thing's broken, then they're
right.
Then you're in the same space. But I probably would rather have a, I don't know if you'd rather have a torn ACL or a broken ankle. But he could miss some time, and it just gets worse. Boy, I'm a Vikings fan. Boy, I'm like, man, let's just shut this thing down. Let's just shut down Justin Jefferson.
This year's one, last year's one. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You're snake bit, man, at this point in time. And I saw where Vikings head coach O'Connell went over to who they joint practicing with.
Oh, I don't know.
Schwartz, the defense coordinator, Schwartz.
Oh, the Browns?
Yeah, there you go. He went over to Jim Schwartz today, making me tone down the physicality. I've already got two guys hurt.
Come on, man. No, man. Yeah, I got two guys down out here. That's the latest with the Vikings. Texans take on the Vikings coming up in week 3 in Minnesota. So, my man, I was listening to Sean this morning. He said, I'll be honest, I'm happy. He said, I'd rather
Sam Darnold.
I'd rather see the known of Sam Darnold than the unknown of J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, that's a fair point to this. I mean, there's only so long that I can lean into Sam Darnold's tangible abilities. Boy, he's got a high ceiling, but damn it, it just never comes to fruition.
Still seeing them ghosts.
Yes, indeed.
We'll see. He's still holding on to the
lead. Ruined his ass, didn't he?
Damn, boy.
Or was he never any good? I don't know, but I like leaning to the ruin.
Adam Gase didn't help.
Whoo!
Didn't help starting there. All right, coming up. DeMeco Ryans, we sat down with the head coach. We'll let you hear what he had to talk about. You do not want to miss what he had to say. He addressed so many topics with the Texans. DeMeco.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Go Ryan's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, we ain't going to play with your emotions. We sat down after practice with the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, to get his thoughts on the state of the team. He covered a lot of different subjects and topics with the Houston Texans. And here is the head coach, DeMeco Ryans.
Got the head coach here with us, and I just kind of want to jump back into it, man. Last year we talked a lot, and you talked about the run game and how important that was and how you wanted to be this team to be physical. The parts that you have looks like it could be a really high octane down the field type of an offense. I'm just curious, with the new parts, is the run game still a priority like that in terms of physicality of what you're looking for?
Yeah, I think for me it always starts with the run game. Like, if you want to open up the pass game, everybody wants to talk about the receivers we have and all these deep threats. Like, to make people respect you, you got to make them respect the run. So it's going to start, I think, with our addition of Joe Mixon and his capability and what he's able to do in a run game. Guy's had over 1,000 yards, probably every year in his career. So he's successful running the football just in our O-line with them, having some continuity, having all of our guys back and out there together. I feel like we should be more successful at running the football. But as you know, like, games change for me. It's like, what do you do this game or that game? Like, what do we need to do to win the game as compared to what is their defensive philosophy? What are they taking away, right? Are they taking away the run? And we need to be able to throw the football, but we got to be able to establish the run. I think that's where your physicality starts. And the physicality in the run game starts from the wide receivers and their ability and willingness to get in there and block.
Miko, we've talked several times about Kenyon Green's story, obviously, and I know you are probably exhausted with talking about the history of it. But when we look at what he's doing right now, man, as it pertains to that run game, just having a guy in the middle at that left guard position, and Juice Scruggs, to be honest with you, at center, just looking like they're solidifying that inside line with Shaq Mason, how big is that in a sense of generating that physical run game you're talking about?
Man, it starts with what Kenyon did in the offseason. Kenyon got himself in shape. He got himself ready to go in the offseason. And it, like I said earlier, it gave him a chance to compete. And right now, it was his past game versus the Steelers. So it was his best game, the best I've seen him look. Just getting to the second level, staying attached to blockers, staying attached to defenders, I'm sorry. But, man, he's working every day. He's out here. He's grinding through it. And he's gotten better because he's getting reps, yep. Right? He's available. And if you're out here and you're taking coaching and it means something to you, you'll get better. And that's what I see from Kenyon.
What about when I watch the film, it just, like, his feet jump off. I remember the first day we watched practice out here, and I'm 100 yards away, obviously, but I'm watching the offensive line. I didn't even know it was him. I mean, I wasn't even registering that he changed his number, and I'm like, damn, that big fella got some feet over there, you know. And then you watch the first game, and you can really see him getting to that second level. His feet just jump off the film in terms of doing what you guys are asking him to do in the run game. It seems like, I mean, everything he's done to get there has I mean, it's reaping rewards at this point.
And it shows, right, when you take attention to your body, right? I think Kenyon has slimmed down, and right? He can move better, and you see that. You see the foot quickness, right? You see him with his power, and that's what Kenyon was known for coming out. He was a strong interior lineman, and you're seeing that power. You're seeing that quickness. What we like to see from our O-linemen, especially the interior guys, is can they move, right, laterally? Do they have the speed to get up to the second level and block safeties, linebackers, whoever it may be? And he's showing that, man. And so I'm very – man, so proud of Kenyon for the work that he's put in, the work that he's put in that nobody saw, right? And now everybody's seeing, like, oh, okay, now that's the Kenyon that we thought we had, and that's a credit to him, man.
D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans, joining the drive. I know our fans, we get it from text messages, our listeners all the time about their excitement of what Christian Harris can potentially be this year and can't wait to see him. And just curious to that point, is there any concern that this may be a long-term thing with Christian Harris? Is this something that fans can expect to see him soon?
No, we'll see him when he's ready to go. All right, there's no timetable or anything that I'm giving or putting out there for Christian. Like, we'll see Christian when that time is available.
Talk to us a little bit about Kamari Lassiter, 14, just walked through the building. You guys have, since y'all been here, and Nick as well, have talked about competition and creating competition. It seems like since Kamari's got here, he's been the dude opposite Derek Stingley. What is it that has convinced you from jump that, hey, this is a guy that needs to be on the field with the ones, and we got to find out what he's all about immediately?
Well, for me, I think he's convinced his teammates more than anything. You see him, whoever he lines up against, it doesn't matter. Right? He's going to compete and he's going to finish every single play. Like, and that's one thing I preach, is one thing I believe that truly makes you a better player. Like, if you want to make a play on Sunday inside that stadium, you better be able to make it in practice, right? And he shows it every single day, even if he's beat. Like, his finish to the ball, his finish through the football, like, and his, like, it's always, like, laser focused, locked in, being exactly where he's to poach him up. You give him a pointer one time, he got it. Yeah. Right? He got it, he's moving on. Like, and that kid has been the most locked in rookie that I've seen in a long time.
It looks like also in that secondary, we're seeing Kalen Bullock get a lot of run too as well. And we've been talking about it. We see him getting on the field a lot, probably mid-season. Your thoughts about what he's bringing to the table?
He's fun to watch. one of the most exciting players for me to watch, like being, you know, on defense, just seeing him, right, roam the middle of the field and go play sideline to sideline from the free safety position. Not many can do that, right? And that's, man, he's truly, like, ball hawking. Like, he makes a play on the ball every day. Like, I can highlight him in a team meeting every day. He's making a play on the football. So, and I'm fired up about that kid as well. I mean, to get two young players like Kamari and Kalen in our secondary, and for them to actually be able to learn behind Stingley, behind Petrie, Ward, Emert, like, it's a really good room, man, a really good competitive room. Those guys are really tight, and they help each other. And nobody's pulling for Kalen more than you see him make a play, our whole sideline is going crazy. You see Kamari make a play, whole sideline is going crazy. So I love to see that connectedness and the tightness of our team celebrating each other, especially the young guys when they make plays.
Am I crazy? Yes. when I watch him play with just the length and the kind of the way he plays, I see a hint of Kyle Hamilton in there, the way he plays.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I think Kyle Hamilton still, you know,
play style.
I think we'll see who. I think he may be able to get the ball a little bit more.
Okay.
Than Kyle Hamilton. Kyle is being he gets down in the box a little bit more. He's a bigger body type, probably more physical player, but I think Kalen's is more range.
All right, we don't want to take too much of your time, but last year when we had a conversation with you, we were really skeptical about that wide receiving core, and you looked at us, you looked at us like you knew something that we didn't know, and all year we were like, damn, I guess that's the right thing. I would say the spot that we have that with is the interior D-line this year. We have some wonders, some questions in that area. Your thoughts to kind of do it to us again like you did it to us with the wide receiver.
All right. What did I say last year about the receivers?
I ain't worried one bit about this.
All right. So interior D-line, I ain't worried one bit about it. No, it's been a lot of guys in and out. I mean, two guys that were with us last year, Kurt and Khalil Davis, they're doing their thing, being consistent. They gotten better. And adding – all right, Foley and adding Mario Edwards to our group, those guys, I mean, Mario, I mean, every day, he's playing our style of ball. I think this scheme has really helped him, right, to flourish. I see him in the backfield a lot. He's being able to attack. He's a guy who's played DN. Now we're moving him inside in the interior spot and think we can utilize his quickness, right, and his – man, he's just very disruptive. So I see him, you know, being a force for us inside. And Foley is just a big run stopper, right, that can – you're not moving him. They try to move him a lot out here, but he just cannot be moved in that interior. And that's what you need to play good run defense. And then once we get, you know, Danico back rolling, we try to get him to rushing inside on third downs with Daniil and Will on the edge. So I think we have a deep group, and we have guys that can do multiple things like Danico, Mario, guys who can play in and interior. So for me, I love it because it gives us more flexibility, right? And we got more guys that we can roll inside that can help us.
I need you to keep dialing up plays for him to make plays. I play with his pops, so it's a natural way for me to remind folks that I did play a little ball back in the day.
There you go.
So keep dialing things up, man.
Let them know, man.
Hey, what about – I think one big question, again, is with the linebackers. I think Christian Harris and Azeez, obviously, there's two guys there that what could really, really go if they're all healthy. But with the Christian Harris situation, and I think even with Christian Harris, the depth is I think a concern, or maybe not for you, but as we look at it, and I think a big question fans have is if Christian Harris is out, what is the depth? What is that? Who's next guy up, and what does that look like?
Yeah, next guy up for us is Henry. Like, Henry has been out here all camp. Henry's been one of our most consistent players throughout camp. He's played the wheel linebacker spot, the Mike backer, like, he's played all three spots. So Henry is a guy who's been very reliable, and I think his teammates see, you know, how reliable he is when he's communicating, being in the right spot, you know, and he's making plays as well. So Henry and Azeez have been running it with our nickel group, and they've been doing a pretty good job.
All right, man, we appreciate you joining us. That is the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, live right here on The Drive.
All right, that's the coach right there, as we appreciate him taking his time out and sitting down with us for a few minutes to let us to get our thoughts off. And it was good to hear from him. And someone texted in, and I would say I totally agree with this person. Tyler, you're not doing your job if you don't get that skeptical
It's already been done.
That I said in there. If you don't pull that, you're not doing your job.
I'm doing it then because I got it.
You're not doing your job. if you do that. By the way, you catch that name that way of name drop that Clint pulled off there. Man, just hey, keep drawing up plays for him. I mean, I played with his pops.
Yeah, no big deal. You know, I was out on that gridiron with his pops. You know,
I don't know. Pops was.
I said, man, I looked.
We're more in the streets than on the field together.
I looked at him and said, this guy right here. All right, no, we appreciate it again, man. It was a good conversation with D'Amico. Hopefully, we get to do it again soon. Coming up, speaking of what we saw today, yesterday was a big Stephon Diggs day, but man, I got to throw my hands up in the air on because what I'm watching does not match what the Texans are doing. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
People commenting how hard you can hear the smile through the radio from D'Amico Ryan. You can feel it. You can hear it coming out. Yeah. He's excited about this team.
Yeah, he's confident. He feels good about the old heads that they added, the youngsters. I mean, it's he feels good about them.
Yeah, he does. You can feel and can tell that. And there are probably some other guys we didn't get to that he has serious feelings about, and really likes what they've been doing. So yeah, man, you can feel it. You can definitely feel it. By the way, just want to reiterate this news coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow, all day, it is Texans ticket Thursday after Texans ticket Tuesday, and you'll have more opportunities to win tickets. Now, only on three shows, only on Payne and Pendergast.
Pendergast and Payne.
Thanks, Nick. Look good back there in that end zone. The three shows, the three earlier shows, were you able to win tickets. Now all four shows, will you have a chance to win a pair of tickets. Each show, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets in the club-level seats for Saturday's game against the New York Giants. Starting at 9 a.m. on Payne and Pendergast, you'll have a chance to win a pair. At 1 p.m. in the 1 o'clock hour on In the Loop, you'll have a chance to win a pair of club-level seats with us right here on The Drive at 5 p.m. and Area 45 at 9 p.m. tomorrow, you'll have a chance to win a pair of club-level tickets as well. So all four shows, we're hooking you up at it'll probably be the best preseason game to get to. The preseason game where you'll get the preseason game potentially that is closest to a regular season game.
Probably yeah. The best one. And I'll tell you, man, isn't the club level, T, isn't that where, I mean, they got some good eats and some good grill. The seats are nice.
Yeah, certain eats you can only get on that level.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's my jam right there. I'd be all right with
that's
that.
That's your jam?
Yeah, I'd be all right with that. I'd be all right with some club
seats. Hell yeah. Get
that's where our suite is, isn't it? Isn't
that club level? I feel like club level's lower than that.
They're level below us?
Yeah, I think they're level below us. So, yeah, you get a good shot of the whole field. So, all four shows tomorrow starting at 9, 1, 5, and then 9 p.m. tomorrow. So, stay with us right here on a rare ticket, Texans ticket Thursday tomorrow. So, stay with us. Listen, we saw a lot today. And, of course, today Stephon Diggs was a star, and this is not the first time in camp. He has been the person to stick out more than anybody else. But outside of that, Clint, like I think I'm just going to give up on the John Metchie thing and just let it happen, I guess. Because I am, fellas, confused on what I'm watching. What I am watching.
You're invested. You're invested in this.
I am, man. What I'm watching and what the production we're seeing, Clint, is the bottom of the receiving core type of guy.
Yeah.
Like, who is down there? Yeah. Cephas?
I mean, like, Cephas made a catch today that I don't think I've seen. I've seen
Metchie. Production-wise, what we've seen from Metchie, he is at that level, would be at that level. But that's not how they are operating with him. They are operating with him, running with the run, with the ones, running with C.J. Stroud. He's out there. Him and Bob Woods today were coming in and in sets with the ones, and that to me was like, wow, because Xavier Hutchinson is not getting that kind of run. Ben Skoranek is hurt right now, so he's not out there, but I don't think he'd be getting that run. I'm just really surprised that he is up in that space. And I'm telling you, I got no clue on how they are going to handle this. Because I told you Friday, I said, he's going to have some kind of moment, something that sticks out in this game. And he had one catch for 7 yards on two targets.
Yeah, after watching today, it's just, I'm convinced if John Metchie wasn't a second round pick, he would definitely be buried on the depth chart and he'd be a fourth quarter play this week all day long. I mean, we've seen him drop balls. We've seen him not create separation. There's obvious chemistry that quarterbacks are building with Xavier Hutchinson and Ben Skoranek and, you know, the Robert Woods and these other guys. And I'm not talking about C.J. Stroud. I'm talking about guys that they work with in practice. And so it's obvious, man. There's the only reason that John Metchie is in the huddle with the ones today is that they are hell-bent on making this work. I mean, they are hell-bent on giving John Metchie every single opportunity, no matter what the film says or you know, they're gonna give him every opportunity that they can to make this thing work. And like I said, if he weren't drafted in the second round, he'd be buried where we thought he was, and where, you know, after every game where there's really nothing of note to talk about. Again, where there's drops last year and this year, it doesn't make sense. Other than Nick and D'Amico, really, Nick drafted him in the second round, and there's some kind, you know, they view a second round ceiling and say, man, we have got to see this through, because if he does take that leap, then we want it to be here.
And I've seen people with the thought of, well, maybe they're just putting him with the ones and putting him with the best guys, putting him with the best offensive line, putting him with the best quarterback at C.J. Stroud, so they can really see what you have. And I would just say to that, like, if you got to do all of that, like, if he does, like,
second round wide receiver,
like, if Xavier Hutchinson can flash with Davis Mills and Robert Woods can flash with Davis Mills, if you got to try to do all of those things to see what you have, then you know what you got.
Yeah.
You know the answer.
Oh, I agree.
You know what I mean? You know the answer at that point. If it's forced to do that, so.
Well, the curious thing, you know, that, I mean, to me, what's interesting about it, Ron, is like, and I know we had some back and forth last week or before the Hall of Fame, whatever it is. Like, I'm sorry, man. Like, I've not seen one thing in practice or in a game that was like, okay, that's worth another shot.
The only thing that I was arguing with you was they view him as it.
Oh yeah,
there ain't nothing that I'm with you on that. He has had a day. Robert Woods had four for 42.
I'm not piling on the guy. I'm just simply like, I go to practice damn near every day, and with the exception of a mismatch with a safety, a soft safety, and him catching a slant underneath, or you know, catching it underneath the route. I mean, there's nothing there that makes you sit back in your seat and go, man, we got to see more. There's been nothing. And so that's the shocking part to me.
Just that there's been nothing, but other guys around him have had moments.
Yeah, but even if we're just addressing and discussing, you know, them continuing to give him the opportunities, like, there's not, like, we don't watch him run away from guys in man coverage. We're not watching him make one or two big plays over the top where he's climbing the ladder and going and getting high pointing the ball over a defensive back. I don't care if it's a defensive back that's not going to be here in a month. Like, we're not, there's none of that. There's nothing. My point is there's nothing that an NFL coach sees and goes, get in there with the ones, man. We got to see if you can make some plays with the ones now. Like, it's fascinating as hell to watch. I understand the story. I understand what John Metchie's been through, and it would be an unbelievably powerful story. It is a powerful story. It'd be even more powerful if he arrives in the NFL and starts making plays at this level. I just don't see – I don't see any way, shape, or form how it happens this year with the Texans.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I just – like, I couldn't believe it, just how often he was in the huddle with CJ. Like, it was the entire time he was out that I'm just like – now, what I mean – maybe he was running some hellacious routes that we just didn't see, that they just didn't get to him in the last two games. But like it's interesting to see that. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, as they'll look at Wednesday's practice with the fellas. And coming up behind them, we're live and local till 11 o'clock. Area 45, Bajani and Creighton. They will hold it down. They will have a little post-game show for you, looking to see if your Houston Astros can continue this run. Ronel Blanco can get back on track to kind of get back.
Time.
There you go. They're looking for eight straight tonight. See if Blanco can get back on things. Real quick, an opponent that the Texans play coming up in week six just got weaker today. This had been talked about, but it has happened. Clint, the Patriots are trading their best player and pass rusher, Matthew Judon, to the Falcons for a third-round pick. So the Falcons add Matthew Judon.
Dude.
And I think a lot of people were wondering in the draft, like, why did they take that was the big thing with Penix Jr. They needed a pass rusher. How come they didn't take the kid from Alabama, Dallas Turner?
Yep.
How come they didn't take him? How come they take him? Well, you can just be patient. Be patient, and they get a premier pass rusher to go along with a lot of other talent they have across that defensive line and that defense. So the Patriots just – last week they were trying to trade for Brandon Ayuk. And then Brandon Ayuk was like, nah, I'm good. Now they're trading Matthew Judon. So interesting move there by the Patriots in Mayo in his first year. But Judon will not be there in week six. The Texans and CJ Stroud don't have to worry about number nine coming around the corner.
That's got a real feel of just complete teardown in New England.
Tank it down.
I mean, not that, let's be honest. I mean Bill left it pretty bare now. I mean, in the last few years of Bill, I mean, gosh dang, I don't know what the hell they were up to, but you would think that was some level of teardown. They were going to start over with Bill and he just didn't survive. But that just reeks of a full blown tear it down, and let's just start from scratch.
I don't think I got five New England Patriots.
Joe Milton, Drake May.
Oh, you got the quarterbacks. That's
right. Hunter Henry.
Is he still there?
Yes.
I know Christian Gonzalez is there in the corner.
Is
Kendrick Bourne still there?
Ramondre Stevenson, the running back.
Is Kendrick Bourne still there?
Don't know.
The receiver. That's damn shame. That's the New England Patriots, man. That's the team of the last 2 decades.
Life comes at you fast,
I mean,
doesn't
my
it, Kraft?
Goodness, man. You got a Patriot, Tyler? You got a Patriot?
Tom Brady to return.
Good time, man.
Tom did say.
Is Bailey Zappe still there?
Bailey Zappe's there.
He's still out there?
That's
He's
right.
still on that. We got the quarterbacks. Damn, man.
Oh, man. The main quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, man. What are we doing?
Oh, Jacoby Brissett.
The Texan killer.
We got four of the quarterbacks
and a running back.
I remember Gonzalez, the corner. He was nice.
That man is a Texans killer.
Someone texted in a couple of people. Derwin has said it might be the Bama thing with John Metchie. No. I believe D'Amico Ryan's too good of a coach to just say, hey, man, we're just going to keep rolling this thing out of here because he went to the same school I went to.
Yeah. I could see them with the giving the benefit of the doubt with what he went through as a rookie and a second-year player. That's the only thing. I could see, like, legitimately off the field, haven't deserved it, haven't earned it. I could see that being a reason why an organization would say we want to see one more.
This is one more, man. Like, if
but
you,
it's
if,
one more in an inactive role. You're not. He's not going to be on the field.
But that's what you're saying. But like the way he's running with the ones, it seems like he's going to play against the Colts.
Got to make a case, man. Build the case, baby.
It seems like he's going to play. All right, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Shout out to D'Amico Ryans for joining the show. Shout out to Brandon Scott as well. Texans All Access behind us, live and local to 11. Area 45 follows them. I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. When the day that how old is Dick again?
He's got to be, I mean, 86.
I mean, spring chicken.
The fact that you think it's okay to make fun of Dick, good old Dick, is that's 2 days in a row you've been disrespectful to Dick, and he's just out there grinding.
Whatever, dude.
He's just out there grinding.
Whatever, Boomer.
I mean, you just sensitive as hell, boy. Soft and sensitive.
I'm sensitive. You're the one getting upset right now about some sort of disrespect BS.
You're disrespecting Dick, man. He's out there grinding in the heat.
You hear Tyler Miller there? As the drive is live.
That big Nick energy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.